In the next session, we'll have Salah as our moderator, and Salah will be taking us through So meet the OSM Foundation working groups. So yeah, the mic to Salah, and for the next 40 minutes, yeah. Thank you, Salah. You're welcome.
Thank you. And welcome to this afternoon session. So I'm Sarah Hoffman. I'm on the board of directors for the OSM Foundation. If you want to know about the board of directors, that's the wrong session. Matush will tell you about this in an hour or so. What we're going to talk about here is about all the volunteers who keep running the foundation. For this, we have a number of different working groups, and I'm really happy that there are people from the working groups here and that they're willing to answer your questions and tell you a little bit more about the working groups. So if I can ask on the stage, Frederik Gramm, he will talk about the data working group. Come on. We have seats for you. So you get the seats, I get the sand. Then we have Michael Spreng from the membership working group. We have Martin Reifer, who will talk about the SOTM working group. We have Annelie Vercario, who will tell us about the local chapters working groups. And finally, Donita Orishiba, who will tell us about communications working group. And one working group, which is the operations working group, we have Grant Slater, who is not here today, but who recorded a short video for us, and that's what we're going to start with. So hear about the operations working group.
Hello, Kenya. Habari Zenu. How are you? I'm Grant from the OpenStreetMap working group, and this talk is a quick introduction to what the OpenStreetMap working group is, who we are, and what we look after. So I thought I'd ask ChatGPT the most obvious question, what is the operations working group? And it came up with this lovely image. It looks like a NASA launch center. Unfortunately, we may not quite be that fancy. We do have servers, and we have servers all over the world. Amsterdam, Dublin, London, Oregon in the US. And we do manage them and look after them and the software that runs on them. In this picture are the servers that run the main website and the web servers that look after it. We have a lot of hardware that runs the project, and we have this lovely automated website that generates a big list of all the things we have and what runs on them. But who are we really? Well, we're a small team of people that look after the servers. This was a picture of us celebrating a big server move back in 2014 that we had completed with the necessary beverages, of course. And we do look after the servers, but we also look after a lot of the scaling of the project and how the project is performing and how things are responding to people. And we look after all of this using a variety of tools. We look after the servers, which run Linux and primarily Debian. And we use a configuration tool called Chef, which is a configuration management tool which we use to automate the setup and configuration of the software across all the servers that we manage. That allows us as a small team to manage a whole lot and make sure that it's installed reliably and it's tested and it works. So Chef is a major key tool that we use. We also use cloud services, so we don't just use physical hardware. We have Amazon Web Services, but we automate that too using a tool called OpenTofu. Used to be called, it's a fork of a tool called Terraform. So In summary, we do quite a few things. We look after servers and the hardware infrastructure behind the project. We manage the software that gets installed and the setup of that software. Then we also manage the backups, redundancy, availability of those services, and making sure that everything is running and available for us to use. We also have to do some planning and scaling of the services to make sure, you know, as the project is rapidly growing and has been rapidly growing over many years, that we keep pace with the project. And we plan the infrastructure 6 months or more ahead. Hand in hand with that, we have to look after the budgets. The OpenStreetMap Foundation wants to know how much we're going to be spending, and we budget and plan a year in advance. And then also we look after the service usage policies for some of the services that we run. So some of the services, unfortunately, do get abused or very heavily used, and we have to put certain policies in place just to make sure that it's a fair game for all of us and these services get well used. So do you want to know more about the Operations Working Group? We have a website, operations.osamfoundation.org, where we list the whole lot of details, or you can get more interactive updates from us on the osam_tech account. And if you really want to get involved, we have online video calls every 2 weeks where we discuss the finer details of the planning and what things we are going to get involved with. All the details are at the operations website listed above. Thank you all. I hope you enjoyed the talk.
Yeah, I think we do questions after we had all the introductions. So the next is Frederick from DWG.
All right. So I'm Frederick. I'm one of about 10 people on the data working group. And the data working group is probably the working group with the stupidest name of all of them, because we don't really deal with data all that much. We deal with people. We are the ones who handle conflicts between mappers when someone edits something and then someone else says, no, you shouldn't do that, and they change it back, and then they change it, someone else changes back and forth, so-called edit wars. And then we are the ones who say, okay, you know, we are blocking your account until you have agreed among yourselves what you want to do. We are not the authority who decides what gets into OSM and what doesn't. We are basically enforcing the community consensus. And then if the community has agreed that a certain feature should be mapped in a certain way, and then someone doesn't like that and changes it and doesn't talk to everyone else, to other people in the community, then we might get involved and stop them from doing that. So that's one thing that we can do. Another thing that we are also busy with is fighting vandalism. Many of you might remember that in June this year, we had a larger case of vandalism where all of a sudden Cyrillic messages were appearing on the map about Russians being bad people and so on. Those were the works of someone in Ukraine, obviously, and we had to block them and remove that vandalism and make sure that they can't sign up again and do the same stuff again. So these that's vandalism is something that happens on and off. Large cases like the one that I just spoke of are rare. What happens more frequently is some teenager mapping some green field somewhere and putting some this is where my teacher smokes his dope or something, and then we got to tell him, okay, you know, welcome to OpenStreetMap and we're happy for you to have your contributions, but please stick to the facts. So the data working group gets involved when the community can't fix these things themselves. Of course, we're happy. We are only called in when the community has already told someone, hey, please don't do that, and they still continue doing it. And the third thing that we do a lot of is basically represent the OpenStreetMap consensus to outside parties. So we often have people from the outside complaining hey, my private driveway is on your map and this removed immediately, otherwise I will call my lawyer and I will sue you into oblivion. And then we have a look at these things, and usually we tell them, you know, if your private driveway is visible on aerial imagery, then we have a right to map it, and just because it's yours doesn't mean we can't basically put this on our map, but we will then sometimes make a change and mark this as a private path on OpenStreetMap so that it doesn't appear on routing engines like outdoor apps and so on. So these are the three major things that we do. Mediate when mappers have conflicts among themselves, protect OSM against vandalism, and explain to outside parties why we won't delete something, or sometimes we do delete something. When it's a copyright complaint, for example, someone comes and says, hey, someone has copied my map, which is against copyright, then we probably remove it. Yeah, that's what we do. As I said, we mostly deal with people and not so much with data. Of course, we have some tools that help us revert stuff and or find out who exactly has made an edit and so on. But we are really only just the last resort to deal with these things, and many, many cases of vandalism and also problems with unresponsive mappers and so on are dealt with by the community themselves. And we are very happy that this is so, because we are only 8 people or a handful of people, and we can't deal with every problem in OpenStreetMap. So that was my part. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Michael from MWG.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. I'm Michael, and I've been part of the membership working group now for a few years. So the membership working group, of course, deals with the membership of the OSMF. So the membership is important because it's kind of the highest authority for OpenStreetMap, for the project itself, because the membership elects the board. Our task is to tend to the membership register. The register is kept in CVCRM, which is an open source software. We have... it's not the easiest software to to use, so we need to get used to it. Most things are automated, like when you sign up as a member. For most, this is working perfectly in the background. Of course, we also answer questions concerning the memberships, like if someone is not sure if it's membership is still valid, or if the payment has gone through, which kind of membership they have. There are different types of memberships. So you have the normal members, which have to give their address. We have the associate members, which don't have to give that. We created that for privacy reasons. We also have free membership for active contributors. In the past, we had a lot of things to do with that, but thankfully, that's also mostly automated, with the exception of non-mapping contributions. So that's also one thing we will then do. We will verify the OpenStreetMap accounts of those applications and forward to the board. So the board is the ultimate authority if those people qualify for an active contributor membership. We also are tasked with increasing the membership, even though we didn't do much of that due to just manpower constraints. In the last time, you probably have seen it, we had quite some problems with CVCRM, unfortunately. A lot of things broke, and kind of all at the same time, we were not fast enough in fixing everything. So that has generated quite a lot of work. And with the external help, we could fix most of things. But now we have a huge backlog of inconsistent data, which we still need to work through. So that's also one thing we have to deal with. We have to coordinate with external help because we are not professionals with CVCRM. There we really need someone who has a background in this. Maybe a smaller part is dealing with the OpenStreetMap Foundation mailing list. It's not that much used anymore. It's a communications channel for the members amongst themselves, basically, where you could discuss about the foundation, about the future of the foundation, or about elections. And in the end, I would like to thank Dorothea. As I said, we are pretty tight in manpower, and Dorothea is always very kind in stepping in and helping us manage everything in the dire times when CVCRM fails again. Thank you.
Thank you. So Martin Reifer will talk about the SOTM working group.
So I'm representing the State of the Map working group, or how it's sometimes called the State of the Map organizing committee. And in short, we organized this conference. That's it. And how it works, we collaborate with a changing local team every year. So one part is more or less the same every year, but the second half changes from city to city. And while the local team focuses on everything that needs to be done on the ground, the working group is here to support the local team, but also to do everything else around the conference that needs to be done. For example, do communication and outreach, think about budgeting and finances, coordinating sponsors, coordinating scholars or travel grants that we have, maintaining the website, setting up a ticket system, and also preparing the video recording. In addition, there is also a program committee that is currently not part of the State of the Working Group, but is in close contact with it. And there is also an academic program committee. And now for organizing the conference, there are probably different phases. In the first phase, it's more like about the preparation, finding a suitable date, finding a logo, setting up the website, starting to acquire sponsors, and also starting a call for participation. And then in the middle phase, it's more like about evaluating the the scholar applications. It's about creating the program of the conference. It's about to start ticket sales and adding content to the website and do even more communication and outreach. And also at some point we have to book the catering and the social event. And yeah, that's basically it. And then there is also the hot phase shortly before the conference. That's probably where most of the work for the working group is located in. And there you have to closely collaborate with the local team to think everything about designing and printing t-shirts and other materials, also helping scholars to get to the conference, and same for sponsors. And yeah, also video recording and streaming has to be set up. And yeah, also coordinating the volunteers is also a big task. Now, how might you be able to help this working group? There are lots of different tasks, as you heard, to do. So lots of different skills are needed. And for example, there would be need help in designing, for example, a logo, website, printed material, t-shirts, stuff like that. And if you're good with negotiating or talking to sponsors, that's also something that we could use any help with. Or help with admin work, like planning the conference, budgeting, stuff like that. Also the program committee, I guess, needs always more people. Help with the coordination of the travel grants would also be possible. If you're active on social media, the outreach could always be improved, I would say. So the more, the better. And yeah, also during the conference, we need stuff. People who manage the volunteers, people to do the video streaming, people to help with session moderation, stuff like that. And so last but not least, you can also gather a local group and propose to host the Save the Map in your city.
Thank you. Next, Annelie will talk about local chapters working group.
Hi, everyone. I'm Annelie from Local Chapters and Communities Working Group, and yeah, probably the longest working group name. It's a mouthful, LCCWG. But yeah, we're fun people. We do have, as you know, as the title suggests already, it's local communities, local chapters, and also communities. So currently, we have three focus items in the LCCWG. So first, we build local community cohesion. So we explore ways and develop ideas to support the foundation, to support the growth of local chapters as well as different communities. Second one, we facilitate global exchange of ideas. So historically, we do have local chapters, BOF sessions. We do it every State of the Maps since, I think, 2019. Or we have one in 2022. But because of the pandemic and everything, we started doing the local chapters congress. So it's an online version of the local chapters BOF session that we do during State of the Map to facilitate ideas and also provide a venue for communities to talk about their challenges, opportunities, and how we can develop the local chapters affiliation. And the third one is, of course, improving the local chapters affiliation scheme. So we do review applications from local chapters. We're also discussing how we can improve the affiliation scheme in OpenStreetMap. So currently we do have 17 or 18 local chapters around the world. We have ongoing about 4 applications, one from Asia, one from Latin America, and 2 from Africa at the moment. We're people from different communities. I think currently right now we're about 10 people from 10 different communities. Some people from the LCCW are here. Anissa is representing Italy, Joffrey, Uganda, Muluba in DRC. So those are just one of my three of my co-LCCWG members present. So if you do have any questions about LCCWG, you'd like to join, you'd like to learn more about what we do, feel free to reach out to us, just talk to us, grab us here in the conference. And then if you want to join currently, if you're interested to join, you can email us via local@osmfoundation.org. So not only local chapters, the recognized local chapters can join, but even any OSM communities can join. And there's no limit currently, but to avoid over dominance of just one country, three people from one country joining the working group, we kind of limit it to 2 representatives. So we encourage you to talk with your community, discuss hey, we should join the local chapters and communities working group. Who do we want to represent us? So but we're we welcome you to join us. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. And the best for last, Donita for the Communications Working Group.
Hello, Donita from the Communications Working Group. And majorly we create a working communication strategy for the foundation to make sure we choose what content to put out on the different media channels. That includes the blog, the website, and social media channels like Mastodon, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and the rest of the chat groups. So we discuss what kind of content to put out, when to put it out, how to communicate. We also keep communications active with the OSM communities and the rest of the world, sharing information about OpenStreetMap, how to use it, and also all the details like membership, volunteering, and how to support the map. We also promote events from different OSM chapters and also One, like the donation campaign that we are promoting on our channels, and we appreciate everyone who supported on that. Yeah, so we promote also events from like this one, also like the one that recently happened, all other SOTIM events and other events that are connected to OpenStreetMap. Yeah, and I think that is it. And we appreciate you so much for always engaging, because if we do not have engagement, then word is not reaching out there. Thank you for always engaging and sharing and supporting OpenStreetMap. Yeah, that is it.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, everyone. And we are open for question now. Okay, Matish.
I have actually one question, kind of fishing for more info. Because, for example, for state of the map working group, there was mentioned that new members are welcome. For some other working groups, it was not mentioned. So the question is whether you are looking for members on your own, or would you welcome people applying to become a member and also help with working with these topics?
I guess it's a question for everyone. So should we do a round?
Okay, so the data working group actually tends to ask people. So when we see that there's someone doing good work in the community, so we sometimes think, oh, well, we could ask that person. They're not yet gobbled up by any other working group, so maybe we could ask them to help us. We sometimes have people applying. You can send an email to data@osmfoundation.org and say, I would like to join the data working group. What we are looking at in someone who wants to join is you should have some experience, obviously, with OpenStreetMap, so that we can trust you to like revert a change set or something. And we would typically, if someone asks us whether they could join, we would typically look at their past discussions with others in OpenStreetMap and see if they have a track record of mediating in conflict, of writing change set comments and writing to others, hey, you should do this differently, and so on and so on. We sometimes have people with relatively little OpenStreetMap experience asking us to join. And this is often due to maybe some sort of misunderstanding. Someone who's looking at the working groups and thinks that, oh, this is something that I could grow, where I could grow in OpenStreetMap. But really, we're looking for people who have already grown and who have already got a track record in OSM and have done good community work. And then we're happy to sign them up. The thing is, in the data working group, everyone really works very much on their own. We don't have the capacity to make team decisions on everything. We get about between, I would say, 10 and 20 new cases that need to be dealt with every day. And if we were to sort of hold a vote on our actions for each of these cases, and everyone would have to read all the cases and then vote whether we should do X or Y, that wouldn't work. So the way we work is someone who has some time and who sees the ticket just grabs it and acts on it and handles it. And so we have to trust every individual data working group member to have the right experience and to have the right, yeah, you need to have a certain amount of people skills, right? There are some people in OSM who go, oh, here I am, I know everything. That's probably not the right attitude for a data working group. Yeah, I think that's all. If there's any other questions, just continue asking.
So from the membership working group, we always like to have new members. Currently we have two new members which we are trying to getting up to speed, and due to the CVCRM problems we are a bit at the limit, but still just apply and we'll get back to you as soon as we can onboard more members. So, and we really need more. It's we are too few. We should really spread it on more shoulders.
So as I said, for the state of the map working group, it's a rather low barrier of entry, so basically everyone can be part of it. And yeah, just contact us on the email. What we are looking for is people who are able to commit a little bit of time over the whole year, and maybe shortly before the conference a little bit more. So maybe just to add to that is we have regular meetings that are like typically every second week, but depending on the phase, sometimes like only every month, and shortly before the conference, perhaps often, more often even. So that's basically the commitment we would expect from anyone participating. And then it's like on and off, some stuff to do, sometimes more, sometimes less.
I want to invite the local team of OpenStreet Kenya, because they showed they have so much knowledge for organizing a conference. So you are welcome to join the organizing team.
Yeah, for local chapters and communities working group. Yes, we welcome anyone who would like to join. And actually not, I mean, we have, you know, communities, not just the country communities. Like, for example, me, I first joined the LCCWG as a representative from HOT. Currently, right now, we also have Michael Montani kind of representing the UN. So, yeah, we also, you know, welcome those kind of thematic communities or thematic people from those communities. So, yeah, just reach out to us via email if you'd like to join. We do have also a Telegram with, we call them LCCWG and Friends. So, yeah, and just to mention, we meet only once a month. So, it will not take, lot of synchronized work for you, so, or time for you. So, hopefully, you'll be interested to join.
Hello. So the Communications Working Group is also always accepting volunteers. We actually have two that joined us last week, and I've seen some of them around at this event. And you basically have to have a passion for communications, because you're representing a community. You have to know how to talk when you're communicating on the social media channels. If you're interested in joining to support social media, or the blog, you should have a passion maybe for writing, you're good at writing. Also, we welcome people who are willing to contribute in creating like posters, graphics like that one. Yeah, so you're always welcome. You can just send an email. Thank you.
Thank you. So we have one question from Venulus, and they're asking, how do you deal with the challenges that there's a more and more diversifying crowd, so different interests, commercial versus humanitarian versus private helpers and mappers and so on. Who wants to take this? What
was the question? So the diversifying crowd, so do you have different mappers? You have the commercial ones.
For communication, the different chapters, as long as we are all connected to OpenStreetMap, we see us as one community, so we communicate to all of us in the same way, since we are all under the same community, the OpenStreetMap community.
I'd like to take that on also, because local chapters and committees, we're very diversified. And I think you know, there's no versus. It's not a competition for us. It's you know, we have different ideas that we can put on the table, that we can, you know, give our perspectives to in a, for a certain topic. So yeah, I think it's also making sure that everyone, you know, has enough or has time to chime in if they want to add to a discussion, you know, also respecting each other's time to while they talk, listening attentively, even though if it's online. So yeah, I've been with LCCWG since 2021. We work on the moderation subcommittee. That was my kind of first work with LCCWG. So yeah, I enjoyed it because it's a very inclusive space for me to join. So yeah.
Other questions from the auditorium?
Yeah. Simple question to you, are there other working groups?
So I forgot the legal working group, which is basically dealing with any legal inquiries or official documents we have to do. Did I forget another one? The engineering working group, that's true. So we also have the engineering working group, which tries to look into funding software development, so for the website and also other software around. Sorry about that. Further questions?
Yeah. I have the question of how do you communicate between the different working groups? Because I imagine sometimes a topic comes and it may relate to two of them. And how do you do this internal communication between working groups?
So at least what sometimes happens is that the same person can be part of multiple working groups, and that for example, for communications, that makes it much faster to get stuff going. And otherwise, I would say we communicate like everyone else through the official channels.
There's also the board, which is kind of the supervisor for the working groups, because we are not, or some of us are not part of the OSM Foundation, so the OSM Foundation, the board is kind of the boss, and so if something occurs, it just gets escalated to the board.
For the data working group, the only other working group that we interface with is the operations group, or more precisely the OSM sysadmins, who are basically a subgroup of the operations, because the data working group doesn't have access to everything. Like if someone signs up to OSM, their IP number gets recorded, and we don't have access to that. And sometimes we have to discuss with the sysadmins, and that all happens on IRC.
More questions?
I have a question. So from what I got is that being part of the working group is more of like volunteer, like you're volunteering. So I want to understand what keeps you motivated.
Who wants to take this one?
Speaking for myself, personally, I love communications, and also I love interacting with communities. That's why I decided to volunteer with a communications working group. And also supporting in the graphics world. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I think for me, same as Donitar. Yeah, just also a passion for communities. I'm actually not just in LCCWG, I also volunteer for the State of the Map working group as communications, in the communications team. So yeah, and it just, very fun. I think it the people also helps, like, you know, working with Christine, working with Martin, working with Anissa, like, yeah, I build connection with different people from across the globe. That's also like, and I think not just connection, but yeah, kind of, you know, making a friend from the OpenStreetMap community. So yeah, that helps with, yeah, not just the passion, but also the connection that I get from it.
Yeah, I guess the answer is probably the same as the question of why are we contributing to OpenStreetMap, right? So I guess it's the passion of building a community and probably also to wanting to contribute a little bit more than just the map data. And for me specifically, was it that I first was part of a local group that hosted the State of the Map in Heidelberg in 2019. And yeah, that was basically the stepping stone to get into this working group for me.
Okay, so a little bit different answer from me, I guess. Tending the membership registry is not that fun, but it's also part of the foundation. So my motivation is keeping the project going and keeping this afloat.
Yeah, our situation in the data working group is that we often react to stuff that comes in from the community. Someone says, hey, can you help us? There's this problem. And then when we manage to solve a problem, people usually are happy and they say thank you. And that's, of course, a big motivator. If you can solve a problem for people and then they say thank you and you say, okay, that's one thing that that has maybe improved the situation for a couple of members a bit.
Yeah, thank you for that wonderful presentations. I'm here asking myself a question. Obviously, each and every person in this room is getting a bit intrigued and interested to join any of the working groups. But obviously, I know not everyone can join these working groups. So what is your measure for quality assurance for each of the working groups that you have mentioned? Thank you.
Is your question about how many hours per week or something someone has to spend on the working group, or because you said the measure for quality assurance, I'm not entirely sure what.
Yeah. Okay. Let me rephrase it a little bit. Yeah. So obviously, when you're doing something, you have to do it well. So I imagine that perhaps not everybody is going to be taken on onto this working group. So how do you measure that someone is good enough or has the necessary capabilities to take on the challenges and the tasks for each of the working groups?
Speaking for the membership working group, you don't need any qualifications. We are desperate enough to take anyone, basically. That there is the legal safeguard, so you have to sign a non-disclosure agreement because, of course, you will work with private data of the members, and up till now that's kind of been the barrier. So you don't get anything, and you have to sign this. Yeah, it worked up till now. We hoped it keeps working because we would like to get anyone who wants to join.
So for the Southern Berlin group. It's more like that we don't have any rules or guidelines or quality measures for our members. It's more like that occasionally the focus of people shifts and they might have less time to contribute, and therefore people leave the group and new people come in. And luckily we have this yearly cycle, so after one state of the map is over, basically the next one, organizing the next one starts. And that's often also a good time to ask people, do you still have time to be a part of this working group? And yeah, that's how it usually goes.
For the communications, you have to have one of the skills for communications, because we are always, it could be social media or writing, just like I mentioned earlier, and you have to be active in the community. Yeah.
Yeah, for us, just show up on a meeting. Actually, we we show. As I said, you can email local@osmfoundation.org and then show up to the next meeting. You know, you can introduce yourself. You know why you are motivated to join, why you want to join, what you want to discuss, or anything like that. And yeah, we do have like a kind of a voting system that always like approved during the meeting when there's a new person coming. So all of it is documented in the meetings, in the minutes. So yeah, and I think you know even though like we're like 10 people in the OSM Wiki, like each meeting it's only about 3 to 5 people who join. So yeah, that's why like, you know, just show up. Although I'm not sure like what's the measure if someone becomes inactive. I think some people just say, hey, I can't commit anymore. But yeah, we don't really have that measure yet of, oh, this person didn't join for 2 months and stuff. So yeah, thanks.
There's no more questions in VenueLess at the moment. Still questions from the audience?
Yeah, do you enjoy the work in the working groups somehow? So
I think I can say for all my colleagues that they find some kind of enjoyment in their work. Obviously, there are days when shit hits the fan, and then maybe you would like to do other things than find out what you need to do to fix something on OSM. But on the whole, yes, I think it's a rewarding activity.
We had kind of a difficult time, so at the moment, I don't know. I just want to burn CVCRM. No, but I mean, if everything is working, that's it's only little things to do and it's fine.
Yeah, obviously I enjoy it, especially because the conference is currently going on and you see all the results from the work you put in before. And yeah, obviously also sometimes you have a little bit of frustration occasionally, but I would say overall it's a very rewarding profession.
Yep, I enjoy it too.
I enjoy it too.
All right. If there's no other questions, I would all of you invite to think about joining a working group. So you have to put a little bit of time in it, but not too much, and it really helps OSM stay afloat. Thank you for coming. Thank you all for this last minute panel, and enjoy the conference.
Yeah, thank you so much. Another hand of applause to the panelists.